Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can speak to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be more than happy to help. Now, today I am joined by Jim Lofgren, CEO at Nosto. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And you're in New York, aren't you?
I am, in this fantastic buzzing city.
Yes, it is. It is a buzzing city. And I do have to ask the inevitable question. What has the weather been doing in New York last few days?
It's incredibly damp and rainy, and we're all waiting for fall and the beautiful leaves to fall down.
So fall comes very rapidly in New York, does it? Within hours?
Within minutes, most times.
Within minutes. It's sunny one moment, and then a couple of minutes later, it's like grey and dreary, and the leaves are falling off.
And it has nothing to do with climate change.
I'll resist my temptation to do an impersonation of a certain president. Right, let's move on. I am quite excited because I like talking about AI because I'm a bit of a geek. But specifically, we're going to be talking about AI sort of and the way it sort of connects to a sort of personalization in online marketing. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself and Nosto.
So Nosto was founded in 2011. We're founded out of Europe in Helsinki, in Finland, and have just experienced rapid growth. We're about 100 people with offices now in, obviously in Helsinki, Stockholm, London, Paris, Berlin, and our latest additions here in New York and LA. So we're sort of our whole thesis is that you should be able to, as a retailer, be able to fully personalize the experience so that you can actually provide a relevant and enjoyable shopping moment for the consumer when they're shopping primarily online. Mm-hmm. I joined the company not too long ago. My background has been primarily in the retail sector. I've been heading up a multitude of different retailers, primarily in the fashion segment, in the Nordics area, a company called Elos and La Redoute, which is a big French brand, and then obviously here in the US since 2010. Yeah. And then in 13, I joined a software business called Commerce Hub, and 15, I joined Klarna, which is a fast-growing fintech. And only recently this year, I joined Nosto as CEO.
So I'd like to talk about, we're going to get onto AI, but just focusing on a little bit about personalization. And it's a growing area of importance, really, isn't it? Why does it need to be a priority? I mean, especially in e-commerce.
Well, the most important thing is what the consumer expects. We start with the consumer when they're shopping. And if you look at sort of the consumer sentiment, 88% of consumers expect a personalized experience when they shop. And if you look at actual personalization, less than 30% have like a proper personalization in place or any type of personalization in place. So there's a big gap between what a merchant wants to do for their consumer, what the consumer is expecting, and what people are actually able to pull off. And I think that's the key challenge.
Do you think people, it's a fascinating thing when sort of personalization, because you think it's so subtle sometimes, isn't it? Do you think people sometimes aren't really aware it's happening?
To some extent, people aren't really aware that it's happening, especially when it relates to, let's say, product recommendations. So the predictive nature of presenting the right products for consumers. In the best of worlds, consumers shouldn't really understand that there's a level of personalization going on behind the scenes where they're being presented with the right relevant products. They should rather feel that I'm actually enjoying this. I'm actually getting a lot of relevant suggestions from this retailer, and I'm actually end up buying a lot of things that fit me. So if you're doing personalization in the right way, there shouldn't be this barrier or this resistance that is really kind of self-inflicted by retailers as they do mass marketing instead of a one-to-one automated marketing.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what these statistics are, because I know that personalization has got some sort of measurable effects, hasn't it? Do you know what the sort of like hikes in conversion rate and sort of average order value are?
Obviously, it varies from vertical to vertical and also by retailer to retailer. Some have nothing in place already and some have something in place. They do something manually today, or they might be even more advanced. If we look at our averages across, we work with 2,500 retailers today across 100 different countries. If we look at our average sort of impact, we see that sort of the impact on the online business at such is that we see somewhere around between 15 and 20% increase in AOV, because you're able to both with the AI and technology that you're sort of feeding and feeding the system, but also with merchandising rules, you're able to drive a higher ticket.
Yeah.
If you look at actual conversion, the effect is even higher. So with the right personalized products in front of consumers, and even better, if you can also personalize the content, you can have a much higher uptake. We see north of 30% increase in actual conversion rates.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, you know, in these days of you know, so many people are using their mobiles, aren't they, to order things? I'm assuming that personalization is even more important in mobile.
Yeah, especially since the major traffic source, the majority of the traffic today comes on mobile from most retailers we work with, and many of them actually leverage a native app or try to leverage a native app or wanting to build a native app. So we see a massive amount of traffic coming from there, and getting the right product very early on, because your patience is also less in a mobile environment.
Yes. So
you don't spend as much time with each individual retailer. You rather want the right product at the right moment when you're there. And if you're failing then, or if you're manually doing things, then you're not going to be able to provide that relevant experience.
Mm. So if we bring AI, sort of artificial intelligence, into the mix, into personalization, how does it work and what can it do?
So AI is really a quite a broad term, and should be used wisely, to be fair. What we then sort of denote as AI is really our machine learning and underlying technology. So what we do that is somewhat different than most others is, so 98% of the actual experience and the actual output of doing something in machine learning in the field that we're in comes from behavioral data. So we've developed sort of algorithms that learns from a multitude of different retailers. So all the 2,500 retailers, it's a model that learns on how users behave on your individual website. And with that, we can then present output from all that behavioral and transactional data, but we found that the behavioral data represents some 98% of the actual valuable data, and present then predictive recommendations in both product, what products you should be showing the consumers at this point for them to have an increased probability of buying that's relevant to them, but also content pieces like, do you have brand affinity towards a certain brand? Are you an Adidas shopper versus a Nike shopper? Are you, do you buy primarily, are you looking primarily for pants? Is should we be presenting you with pants, or are you more looking for outerwear?
Yeah.
So we can do all of that, and we can then use our underlying AI that's built on this behavioral data that we collect and present a relevant experience. That's really the trick. It's actually really complicated. We have a whole team that sits day in and day out on refining these algorithms and also overlaying merchandising rules, because in the end, it's a combination of presenting these type of insights to the retailer so they can understand how to optimize their business. And sometimes you need to leverage AI to make sure that you have a like predictive recommendation to a consumer. But sometimes you need to overlay, hey, what are my business rules? Do I want to show this type of product in this geolocation? Or you need, I want to show only products with this type of margins. So you have to have both sides of the equation, because the retailer still needs to run their business.
Obviously, you know, with all this talk of the importance of AI, what are some tips on how business should go about sort of introducing it?
Using AI is not something that you do just, it might not be the first thing you think about when you're running your business. You have, you might have inventory to sell, and you might have many business types decisions that you have to focus on first. Mm. When it comes to then AI, what you really want to do is you want to make sure that you're providing the most relevant and automated experience across all the different channels. So where we suggest that you start is obviously you start with your on-site experience. So, and if you want to automate that and make sure that you have as little hand-holding of that type of experience as possible, many of our retailers start with product recommendations, and most of them start on the product detail pages. They add our sort of AI and underlying technology to provide consumers with recommendations, both for others have bought similar type of items, you have recently viewed this, or just general other types of products that you're likely to like. Mm. Those are the type of things we like to present on the product detail page. And then we extend that experience across more relevant touch points. So, for example, category list pages or different type of landing pages, the homepage. So you really make sure you expose the products that you're likely to purchase already when you land on the website. As a second step, we normally recommend that you as a retailer, you take that type of content and you make sure that it's available or product recommendation, that it's available across a multitude of different touch points, not only on your site. So second step is normally integrating it with your email service provider. Mm. And that's why we've also built connections to all of them from our own system. So you can simply just push a button so that they're disseminated into common tools that are used, either advanced tools or simple tools like a MailChimp. So they're automatically fed into there. What we also do is we suggest that people add it to their Facebook. So from a retargeting perspective, you can simply just add your product feed into there from Nosto, and you can get sort of a fully personalized experience all the way from seeing it on Facebook or Instagram down to making a purchase on the product detail page and in the checkout. So those are sort of the first two steps where most retailers, what they should be doing. If you look at what people are actually doing, I think only 12%, if I remember the number correct, only 12% of the retailers we've surveyed think that they have a personalization that they're really happy with.
Yeah.
And of the ones that actually end up doing some level of personalization, many of them, as I say, they start with their product detail pages. 77%, I think, have some sort of personalized emails going out. But very few actually end up doing a proper on-site experience, and only 10-ish percent actually work with the content, which is, I think, the next foray into using AI is really the content. So you've been able to provide a product recommendation that's very relevant, but half of the experience is what brands are you pushing, what sales events are you pushing, what types of new arrivals are you pushing, for example, in the fashion segment. And there, providing the right content there is enormously important and can drive a massive increase. We had a client of ours called Function 18 that operate out of the UK, and they did a big push in segmenting their customers through our, obviously through our tools, into brand affinity buyers. So they have, they're a golf company, so they have Calvin Green and they have Adidas and Nike and FootJoy, and so the main brands. So they could then target in real time as they saw the behavior, they can then target them with on the website with content that's specific, directed to what their brand liking of that specific consumer is, which was enormously powerful.
Yeah, must have been. Now, what about verticals? Because the way you approach this must differ, I would imagine, depending on the vertical industry what you're operating in.
Yeah, and so we operate across a swath of different verticals, obviously. The most common vertical to have a strong desire to personalize the experience is obviously the fashion and beauty segments, where styles, colors, all the way down to variants. If you think about bras, you have for each individual item or product, you have so many variants, and being able to recommend down on various types of sizes or materials is enormously important. Mm. So like when you're looking for to do actual personalization, it's really important that you work with someone that actually does it on that granular level, so that you can get actual relevant recommendations that is filtered, for example, by size or materials. What is also important, like we also work with, let's say, more difficult categories, which we've invested a lot of time and effort in developing our software packages into things like consumer electronics, where it's much more difficult, because there you need to make sure that the thing that you're recommending, if it's a plug of some sort, the plug actually needs to fit with a device. So there you need your AI to be smart enough and the data integrations to be good enough to make sure that you make really relevant recommendations on the plug and how things function with each other. So you need an interrelationship between the different products that you need to figure out.
Yeah. So if there was, you know, obviously we've covered a lot of things today, Jim, but if there was like one or two key takeaways for our listeners today, what would they be?
Our experience is that the main hurdle for not being better at personalization is because you have data in different systems. Mm. So you have retailers most times, and that's my experience as a better half of my career as a retailer, the data sits in my email system, my Google Analytics or analytics software that I use, in my CRM and in various different places. And then being able to tie everything together and personalize the experience on all the different touch points is a complicated task. Mm. What we set out to do when this company was founded was really to provide an experience where it's really easy to get started and easy to use, but then also very powerful once you use it. So we have a patented technology for the actual integration. So let's say you work with one of the platforms or you've built your own website.
Yeah.
You actually only tag your own website. It's very simple. And by just tagging your different pages with simple code, we collect all that data, the behavioral data, the product catalog data, and all the data that you normally sit and have in multiple different systems. We do that in one go with a simple tagging way, simple tagging rules. And then we can actually personalize all the different touch points, both from content, product recommendations, and in all the different channels. So like as you look to personalization, the fear that you might have is that you have data in so many places was actually quite easy to get started. It's my recommendation.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you, Jim, and more about Nostos?
Yeah, so you can either email us at hello@nosto.com or you go to our website, www.nosto.com, and see what we do there. We have a ton of case studies. We have videos and content that you can simply just click on and see how we do things and how we think about personalization. So it's quite easy.
Thanks a lot, Jim. And thanks to our listeners for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review, because that way we can help more people, assuming they're good reviews, of course. Hopefully they are. Questions and suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility. Don't forget, we have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Jim.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.